Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning. I am glad that you are here this day. Would you join me in prayer as we come before our God? Father God, thank you for this day that you have given us life and breath, privilege of being here. Thank you for bringing us through the snow yesterday. And Father, we would pray for those who are going through much worse scenarios than we are and are digging out. And we just pray that you would watch over them and give them all the resources that they need. Protect them. Father, storms remind us of your majesty, your greatness, your splendor. We are small in comparison to your greatness. And yet you love us so much. So Father, we have sung of that love this morning. We have sung of your grace. We have sung through prayer that you would change us and make us more like you. So all these things, we pray that you would continue to work in us by your Spirit. And now as we turn to your word and what it would have to say to us this morning, cause us to have ears to hear, to be attentive, to tune in. May we be open books before you, that you may speak into our lives, for you are good and you only want what is good for us. So take us to that place even this day. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Well, one of the things that happens in January for a lot of people, maybe has already happened to you, is they get their credit card statements from December. And they get a reality check. When they open their credit card statement, they see in black and white what they have spent. And January, for many in the financial area, is sometimes a time to face up to reality, to get real, to reassess. For most people, sometime during the year, you'll go in for that annual physical. And your doctor gives you the straight facts on how you need to be exercising more, eating less, eating better, and so on. How many of us like getting those reports? Most of us, not so much. Hearing the truth can be uncomfortable. But if we step back from that kind of initial emotional response and think about it for a moment, we know that that is exactly what we need, which is why we go to the doctor. If we ignore the truth about our health, we put our health in jeopardy. Well, today as we continue in our series in the letter of 1 John, which we're calling Vital Signs, Marks of True Faith, we're going to be looking and delving into a text that might feel a little bit like going to the doctor and getting a checkup. But let me tell you in advance that we've got some good news waiting for you, some great, spectacular news as we navigate our way through this text. So we're going to dig into this text. It's 1 John 1, 5 to 2, 2, beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is the key statement, the declaration, the overriding truth that is going to guide the rest of the passage that we are looking at today. God is light. God is light. Now this is a truth that is proclaimed right through the scriptures. The psalmist declared actually centuries early, the Lord, Yahweh, is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27:1. But maybe our writer John has in mind the words of Jesus himself, who said, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. Light is this powerful, wonderful way of describing the nature of God. Well, why? What does light do? Well, maybe the first thing that really comes to our mind is light enables us to see. Light enables us to see where we are. If we look behind us, light shows us where we've been. If we're looking ahead, light shows us where we're going. Light reveals. Light illuminates, both physically and spiritually. Although, you know, I do like watching detective shows. Do you like watching detective shows? It seems inevitable that sometime during a detective show, the detectives will be navigating their way through a dark hallway or going into a dark room, and so often they just have this little flashlight. And sometimes I want to yell, if I'm into the show, I want to say, "Just go turn on the lights. Just go turn on the lights. Everything will be clear." God is light. You want to see? You want to see? Come to the light. But John emphasizes something that's very important here. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. At all. Which means God is pure light. God is fully light. He is incorruptible. No lies, no deceptions, no falsehoods, no shadow of turning with him, we sang this morning. No darkness at all. Darkness is the opposite of light. Light represents all that is true and beautiful, even life-giving. Light and life go together. Darkness is that which is false and wrong and evil and corrupt. And so that's how John sets the stage for what is to come. Why is this important? Well, we're going to actually look at three implications of this powerful truth that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. First, God is light. God is light. So get real about fellowship. Get real about fellowship. Verse 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Last week, we spent some time looking at this word fellowship, because John actually introduces it in his opening words. Fellowship, or the original Greek word koinonia, is about what followers of Jesus hold and have in common when we put our trust in him. Fellowship is the communion, the rich relationship, even partnership that we have with one another and with God himself when we trust in Jesus. But John is addressing a problem that is taking place in the early church. People are claiming to have put their faith in Jesus, but they're just living in the same old ways that they did before becoming believers. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And John is saying, now, hold on a minute. That's a problem. That's a problem. There's something deeply wrong here. If we claim to have fellowship with the true God who is light, walk in darkness. Guess what? You're living a lie. You're living a lie. Well, does that happen? Absolutely. Not just in the early church. Today. I deeply remember when I was a teenager growing up in the small rural church that I grew up in. We kind of knew everybody and everybody knew us. And I became very aware of people who came faithfully to church every Sunday. They sang the hymns with gusto. They said the prayers. They went through all the motions of being a follower of Jesus. But when Monday morning came around, well, they were cheats and liars and manipulators and told dirty jokes, lived no differently than anybody else that was simply out for themselves and what they could get away with. Not everybody, of course. Some. Now, at that time, 40 years ago, majority of people, particularly in the community that I grew up in, majority of people still went to church every Sunday. Well, times have changed. Maybe cultural Christianity is less a thing. But here's the thing that I've certainly become deeply aware of all over the years. The longer you're in the church, the longer you're in the church, it becomes easier to pretend. It becomes easier to pretend. To fake it. To not live it out. Monday to Friday. What you sing about and pray about on Sunday. Is your behavior, your language, the ways that you treat people the same on Monday as it is on Sunday? In other words, is your walk consistent with your talk? Now, is John talking about perfection? Living a sinless life? No. And I say that because of what he immediately goes on to in verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Walking in the light is not sinless perfection. Although clearly, walking in the light means that we are seriously pursuing living a life that has integrity, that is truthful, that is honest, that is loving, and so on and so on. But John is so careful to add here that we need the blood of Jesus. We need the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus clearly refers to the cross and the shedding of blood for our forgiveness that took place there. But John is saying, the blood of Jesus, it remains at the center of true fellowship. One-time sacrifice, ongoing application. One-time sacrifice, ongoing application. I believe that John is saying, as we seek to live in the light with all the best commitment and effort we have, we're still going to sin. We're still going to blow up. We're still going to mess up. But when we do, the wonderful, wonderful good news is that the blood of Jesus is there to purify us, get us going again. And I think John is saying, this is where we experience genuine fellowship, koinonia. When brothers and sisters in Christ are humbly seeking to walk in the light and are sharing their journeys and all the ups and downs and challenges of life in this broken world and are challenging each other and sharing in the mission and confessing their sins, then you experience Christ alive in your midst. Fellowship. Is that your experience of fellowship? I hope so. I hope so. But if not, well, why not? And maybe it's because of this next thing that John addresses. God is light, so get real about sin. Verse 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. One of the strange beliefs that appeared in the first century and actually gained some momentum into the second century, historians tell us, was this belief that what you did with the body really didn't matter. What was important was to get your soul saved, to be spiritually enlightened. But it really didn't matter so much how you lived. What was important was your spiritual connection with God. And spirituality was separated from the day in, day out living of life. And in this view, there became this idea that, well, really, there is no such thing as sin. And John writes, folks, that's just self-deception. That's just self-deception. Such a person, they're blind to reality. You see, interesting lies. Lies don't die fast. And we see something similar today, particularly in some of New Age beliefs. Isn't it true? Spirituality is in. Morality's out. Spirituality is in. Everybody wants to have this spiritual connection with God. But talk about how I live, my reality, my choices, what's right and wrong. No, better talk about that. Spirituality's in. Morality's out. And John says, that is just self-deception. Now, someone say you're preaching to the choir. I don't expect there's anybody here that would say they've never sinned. But what's fascinating is how this false belief, and maybe that doesn't resonate with you so much, but it led John to pen one of the most significant and quoted verses in this whole letter. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Many of us have committed that verse to memory, and I would commend it to you. What does that verse say? Well, it's saying, don't be in denial about your sin. Get real. Get real. Get honest. Be truthful and confess your sins. Confess them. And then hear these wonderful words of truth, because God is faithful and he's just. That is, because of what Christ has done, God will faithfully apply the cross to our lives and we will be forgiven and he will work his grace in our lives to change us, to change us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. Grace is not only to forgive us, but to change us so that we can live differently. And this is real faith. This is true faith. This is a vital sign of true faith. Verse 10 adds and emphasizes this importance of being honest, getting real. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, then we make him, God, out to be a liar. And his word is not in us. See, when we're in denial about our sin, we're not only deceiving ourselves, we're actually making God himself out to be a liar. Well, how does that happen? Well, a person who's in denial about sin, when we're saying we really don't sin, we're saying what God says about us and our desperate need for a Savior, it isn't true. It isn't true. We're actually saying Jesus didn't need to come and die on a cross to forgive us after all. It was all for nothing that Jesus shed his blood. There's really no such thing as sin after all. But John says, such a person who would say such a thing, they don't have the word of God in them. They're far from God, far from the truth. 2 weeks, I had a very disturbing conversation with a person who I've known for some years, who has never put their faith in Christ. He's come close at times, but this conversation revealed he is yet so far from God. Very intelligent person, gave me all the arguments why God can't exist, why the Jesus of the scriptures is just a myth, so on. And I realized after a bit, I was just wasting my breath. See, his superior knowledge has convinced him that Christianity is just a weak-minded myth. All I can do, I'm afraid, is pray for him. Folks, don't become hardened to sin. Don't become hardened to sin. Rather, as John writes about in these last two glorious verses, we're to get real, really real, with Jesus. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. There are just two words that I want to spend a little time unpacking that I think will help us understand the richness, the gloriousness of what God has done for us in Jesus. The first is that word advocate. Advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Well, what's an advocate? An advocate is from the realm of the law courts. It's the one who operates in our defense. He is the go-between between us and the judge. He stands for us, pleads for us. And that's the picture that John is painting using this word. John is saying, when we find ourselves in a situation where we have sinned before God the Father, who is light, has no darkness in it, when we're conscious of that sin, then we've got a big problem. We have a big problem because God is light and we're not, and sin is serious. And if we're going to take God, who is light, seriously, then we've got to take sin seriously, because sin is a crime. It's a disobedience before a holy God. And it's only because of our hardened, foolish hearts that sometimes treats sin lightly and blows it off. But when we take God seriously and when we take sin seriously, then God has not left us without an advocate. And we have Jesus, who comes to our defense. Now, how does he come to our defense? Jesus does not come to our defense and say, no, they haven't sinned. He's not there to say, no, your daughter is not worthy of death, because we are. The advocate doesn't come and say, no, there is no penalty for sin, No making excuses. That isn't what the advocate does. No, the advocate goes before the Father and says, the penalty's been paid. The penalty has been paid. Which is what the next verse and the other word I want to look at is saying. Why does Jesus go to the Father as our defense? Because he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the whole world. Now, there's been some debate as to the best way to translate that word behind the translation what we have before us, atoning sacrifice. And I'm not going to get into all of that because the point that John is making is crystal clear. The wonderful truth he's declaring is this, that Jesus' sacrifice, his death on the cross, resolves our sin problem before a holy God. He is the atoning sacrifice. Our sins are washed away. The debt has been paid. We can resume our fellowship, our union, our connection, our fellowship with a holy God. That's great news, my friends. What glorious, glorious good news John is proclaiming here. And I hope, if you're a follower of Christ, you never get tired of hearing and rejoicing in the hope and the heart of the gospel, which is the cross, the great love of Jesus that is declared for us in him. John says that Jesus' death is sufficient not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That is, for anyone who under conviction of sin would want to come and get right with the living God. I love the words of an old gospel song that put it this way. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Do you know that? Do you know that this morning? I want to just take a few moments for you to maybe bow your head, close your eyes. Just take a few moments. Reflect on the God who is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Try to imagine the splendor of God's light. And we are to come to the light. But if you have unconfessed sin, then this is the time to bring it before him. Take this gift of a few moments to reflect on your own sinfulness. Things you've said, things you've done, things you deeply regret, things that you know are not right, not pure before a holy God. And confess them. Acknowledge them. Bring them to the light. Don't hide. Be real. Be real before the God who is light, but who loves you and has sent his Son to die for you, to pay the price cannot pay. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. He washes your sins away. Hallelujah. Father God, may your word be true to us even in this moment. That if we confess our sins, you are faithful, just, will forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us now, Spirit of the living God. Apply the blood of Jesus to our souls, to our lives. Change us. Change us so we can walk in the light and have fellowship with you. May your name be praised. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.